will be stressed at the table. So welcome to the IDN Variant TLD program session. Kim, if you'd like to start the introductions, we'll introduce the front table. I'll give you a quick overview and run through the agenda, and we'll get started.
My name is Kim Davies. I'm on the staff project team.
Natalie Saras, also on the staff project team.
Steve Shane, also on the staff project team.
Francisco Arias, also on staff project.
Denise Michelle, Vice President, Strategic Initiatives.
Osmos Wright, our consultant to the IDN project.
Sarmad Hussain, a consultant to the User Experience Study.
Marc Blaché, Virginie, consultant for the same project.
So significant progress has been made and very important work remains to support and the secure and stable delegation of IDN variant TLDs once the IDN variant TLD program has finished its work, which is scheduled for June 2014. As we show on the slide, which is also available online on this session slide deck, the IDN variant program was established by the board by resolution in 2010 to identify issues that are related to the delegation handling of IDN variant TLDs. And that work evolved to include work with the community to develop solutions and define the necessary processes that must be in place to establish IDN variant TLD delegations. Phase one was script case studies that occurred in April 2011 through October of that year, in which ICANN conducted six script case studies, Arabic, Chinese Han, Cyrillic, Devanagari, Greek, and Latin. The purpose was to investigate the issues relevant to individual scripts that need to be resolved to facilitate a good and safe user experience for IDN variant TLDs. The case study teams were composed of volunteers from each of the communities and was assisted by ICANN staff and expert consultants. We then moved into phase two in November 2011 through about February 2012. Phase two involved the integrated issue reports. Experts from the six case study teams and expert consultants advised ICANN in completing the integrated issue reports. A common framework that summarizes and categorizes the various issues in identifying and managing IDN variant TLDs in the DNS root zone and offered recommendations to identify potential solutions. Neither the whole string variants nor mirroring variants were considered as feasible options within the team conclusions. That was also overseen by the Board Variant Working Group, and this was one of the findings of the integrated issue reports. Phase three, which is the current phase, running from February 2012 through April of 2013, includes three separate projects. The first is the Label Generation Rules LGR tool project, which is developing a standard tool for listing allowed and variant code points for a domain name registry. The next project is the Root LGR procedure, which is expected in March. It's developing the procedure to be used to populate and maintain the set of allowed Unicode characters or code points in the root and related character variants regarding IDN TLDs. It also defines the target dispositions for derived variant strings, the allocatable and blocked or blocked. The third project is the user experience study on IDN variant TLDs. It's a study that's focused on understanding the implications, examining potential challenges, and proposing recommendations for satisfactory, reliable, and predictable user experience when dealing with IDN variant TLDs. One of the most important outputs will be the set of recommendations that would translate into contract provisions. Phase four, which is the upcoming phase, consists of ICANN working on accelerating, focuses on providing solutions in some key areas. The first project in phase four is to set up the integration panel and materials for the generation panels in preparation for future population of the Root LGR. The next project is the update the new GTLD and IDN-CCTLD programs. This is to account for variance in general and particularly the Root LGR and user experience study recommendations. The third aspect is the update of ICANN-IANA processes and systems to implement the changes specified in the new GTLD and the IDN-CCTLD programs to support the IDN variant TLDs. So IDN variant TLDs could be delegated only after phase four work has finalized and the first version of the Root LGR has been published. So again, we're targeting June, July 2014 for the completion of that work. So that's a quick, broad overview of the work completed in the IDN variant program and the work to come. Today, we'll focus on providing you a presentation of the projects that were completed in phase three. We'll then cover the procedure to develop and maintain the label generation rules for the DNS root zone regarding the IDNA label project. Then we'll discuss examining the user experience implications of active variant TLD project, also outline the next steps for you, and of course invite discussions and questions about these topics. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Francisco Arias for the first agenda item.
Thank you, Denise. So I'm going to update on one of the projects that finalized in this tier phase. I'm not going to read that long title. I prefer the short version, the IDN root LGR procedure. So what are we doing this? Most people know, we are intending to use this in the DNS, or should I say on top of the DNS, since it's IDNA. DNS labels are usually considered useful mnemonics, so we usually would like to have people use something that they can recognize so they can use their own writing system. We should clarify that not every word may be available or to be used in a TLD, for example. So IDNA requires some rules to be defined in order to identify what it's allowed in a registry. And in this case, we're talking about the root. The root, probably we are not used to see it, but it's just another registry. And another thing important to say is that existing root labels, of course, need to be grandfathered and will not be affected. So variant labels, what are they? It's very difficult to give a specific definition in the integrated issue report, which was the output of the second phase of this program. We have some working definitions, let's say, and basically some different code points that can be considered exchangeable by the users of that writing system. And the best example so far is probably Chinese, the equivalence between simplified and traditional Chinese characters. So what's the use of variant labels? Well, we probably want to avoid the allocation of IDN variant TLDs to competing applicants. Why do we want to do this? Well, for security reasons, we probably don't want to have competing different entities to have allocated strings that are considered as variants for the users of that writing system. And on the other hand, we want to allow the allocation of some of those IDN variant TLDs to the applicants so they can better serve their user population. So the IDN root LGR will define the variants, if any, of the call points that are allowed in the root and their possible disposition, meaning where that resulting string can be allocated or it has to be blocked, so no one can have it. So with that in mind, in this project, we developed this procedure to populate and maintain the IDN root LGR. As I said, the root LGR will contain all the call points that will be allowed for IDN TLDs in the root, well, for IDN TLDs. The idea is to provide as much coverage as possible for inclusion of all the possible writing systems, but also keeping in mind that we need to minimize the risk to the root zone, since it's a shared resource that is shared between everyone in the internet. And also a tier, objective here is to automate as much as possible the process by which an application for a variant can be managed. In developing the procedure, we follow a set of principles that were defined by the IAB. IAB is the Internet Architecture Board. It's the, how can I put it, the elders of the internet. Well, not the wise men in the internet, in the technical side, and they give us guidance on what should be considered when adding call points to the root. And there is this set of principles that are defined there. I don't intend to go into all these principles here in detail. Perhaps only one of those, which is the overarching principle that we consider. Which is the conservatism. We want to err on the side of not including something if we have doubts about the security of that call point, for example. So even though that we are considering all the different principles depicted in the IAB document, conservatism takes precedence over the rest. So talking now about the procedure, the procedure considers two different types of panels, generation panels on the top on this diagram, and one integration panel. The interaction between these different panels is what will eventually produce a unified root LGR for the to be used in applications of IDN variant TLDs. The generation panels, it is not just one, it's one per writing system. So, for example, you will have a generation panel for perhaps the Arabic script and another for the CJK, or perhaps there will be one for Japanese. It's still to be defined, and it will depend on the guidance from the integration panel. I will explain later on the integration of all these different panels. Here I just try to depict the idea of how the process works. The generation panels will propose specific conditions from the writing system to the root LGR, and the integration panel will look at those proposals from the taking into consideration the IAB principles and the mandate from ICANN to maintain the security and stability of the internet, and particularly the DNS, will decide whether to reject or accept that proposal from the panel. The interesting point here is that there has to be consensus between the panels that something must be added before it can be added, so that's in line with the conservatism principle mentioned before. Perhaps one other thing to mention is that the membership of the panels is independent. Someone that is participating in a generation panel cannot participate in an integration panel, and vice versa. So generation panels, these panels, we are expecting them to be driven by volunteers from the respective communities that are interested in having variants in the root. So they will develop the rules that constrained to the writing system only. They will not look at the whole of Unicode, just the particular writing system that they're interested in. And they will output, let's say, a subset of the root LGR from their perspective. Those proposals will go to the integration panel. Besides having volunteers in these generation panels, I should say that ICANN will also provide experts if needed. For example, if there is the needed generation panel that is lacking some specific expertise, say Unicode or IDNA, DNS, or some other, then ICANN will provide that expertise so that the generation panel proposal can be as strong as possible. Moving to the integration panel, this will be just one panel, and this panel will consist of independent experts on the following expertise: DNS, IDNA, Unicode, and linguistics. They will be in charge of accepting or rejecting the proposal from the generation panels. And as I said before, there has to be an agreement between a generation panel and the integration panel before something can be accepted. The integration panel will also take care of integrating the proposals from the different generation panels into a unified IDN root LGR. And of course, they need to take into account the mandate for ICANN for a secure and stable and reliable DNS root zone. Another thing that that is important is that decisions within the panel they have to be by unanimity. All of the members of the panel have to be in agreement before something can be accepted or rejected. So the output of this procedure is the root LGR. It's the repertoire for the root, so the list of call points that will be allowed for IDNs. Another component of this is that there will be sub-repertoires inside this big repertoire for the root. This is managed by some tags. So, for example, you can have call points that have more than one tag. You can have, for example, a Han character, a Chinese character, that can have the tag for the CJK, for example, but also from a Japanese language, if shouldn't it be. Each of the applications, when they do an application for a TLD, they will have to select the sub-repertoire that applies to them. So if it's a Japanese applicant, for example, they will have to select, I'm applying this TLD as a Japanese from the Japanese sub-repertoire. So the labels that are being applied for all the call points in that label will have to be contained within the call points in that sub-repertoire. And another important thing to mention is that the whole label will have to be well-formed. This is particularly important for those writing systems that, let's say, are more complex, like Devanagari that is used in Hindi, where there are specific rules about what can be there and in what order. The IDN root LGR has support for some form of these whole-level evaluation rules, as they are called. So I mentioned the sub-repertoires, but I should clarify that the variants will be exactly the same. Doesn't matter what the sub-repertoire tag that you are using in your application. However, the disposition that is allowed for your variants can be different depending on the sub-repertoire that you are applying for. And I have an example later that shows what I'm referring to. So the disposition as it can be two. It can be either block, meaning you meaning the resulting string cannot be active in the DNS, cannot be allocated to anyone, or it can be allocatable, meaning pending some other procedures that need to be defined, the variant could be activated, allocated and activated in the DNS according to those other rules that are not that are not part of the root LGR procedure. And the output is, of course, machine-readable for automatic processing. This is the example that we have here. I will not claim that I'm not, of course, versed on the writing system. Someone else provided that example for me. But the idea here is you have a string, two hand characters there that compose that string. And those two call points one of those, the one to the right, and I don't think I have a pointer here, the one to the right, the 767C, has variants. And if you are applying the first part on the top, let me see if I can use. No, I don't have the pointer here. Sorry. The first example of application which has the tag CH, which is Chinese, has one variant that is allocatable, the one that is shown in blue, while the other three variants are blocked. However, if you apply the same string with the tag Japanese, all the four variants will be blocked. The reason for that is because perhaps that those variants do not make sense to be used in Japanese. And like I said, I don't claim this to be a real example, so please don't kill me for this. Moving on. So when we can have the first version of the IDN root LGR, and note that I'm saying the first version, the first release, this is going to be a dynamic process, and there will be more than one version. This is going to be updated from time to time as we have more writing systems come and express their interest on being in the root. So the initial version of the root.gr, we think, can be provided once, this depends on the integration panel, once they feel comfortable that what they have from the generation panels, that input from the generation panels is enough to consider that there will be no conflicts later when there are more writing systems added to the root.gr. Of course, this has a dependency on the community. It means it depends on when the generation panels, the sooner they are formed, the sooner that the initial version of the IDN root LGR can be formed. And with that, I'm turning the microphone to Steve. Thank you.
There are two questions. Are we taking questions at the end, probably?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to give a brief update on the report that we did examine the user experience implications of active variants. So the scope of the study is we focus on TLD label issues. So if you look at the graph on the right, you know, the largest circle on the right is the IDN labels. And within that, you know, some of those labels have variants, right? And then the circle on the left is about TLD label. It's really the intersection, you know, of those three that we are focusing on, right? But also recognizing that as an end user, you don't usually make that distinctions. Usually users see domains as fully qualified domains. So we consider those implications as well. Variance has been deployed at a second level in a couple of registries. So in the study, we want to document what their practices and what they have learned. So that's documented in the report. And finally, this report wants to try to strike a pragmatic balance between user expectations as well as with consistent and secure implementations. So there's sometimes those are at extremes to one another. Regarding the variant experience at the second level, we surveyed some ccTLDs, and we're grateful for these TLDs that provide answers to us. The high-level takeaway of this slide is some of these practices do converge, and some of these practices exhibit differences, probably because of the nature of the script. So, for example, where they converge is, you know, they treat variants as an atomic unit for operation and registration data. So they all allocate it to the same registrant, and if status changes for one, it's also changed for the other. So that's the place where it converges. Where it differs, you know, for example, in the Chinese community, the choice of active variants is probably an old simplified one, an old traditional one plus one user choice, where in the Arabic community, that distinction of preferred variant is not as strong, you know, as the Chinese community. So on and so forth, with the member of the variant set, the registration software, and registrant support. Oops, sorry. As Francisco mentioned, the P2N1 starts with a set of IAB principles. I think in this study, we also try to articulate, you know, as a set of starting point principles for active variant TLDs. And these principles are generated from, you know, the current best practices as well as, you know, user guidelines. And there are seven of these: minimality, security, equivalency, predictability, consistency, manageability, and ease of use. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go into each of these principles in detail. I want to highlight there are some principles, you know, that are termed as must. So these are used more or less as, you know, requirements for it. And other principles are termed as should. This means that we recognize there exists some circumstances where you know, some of these principles may not work, but we want this to be the best practice, and you know, someone who tries to apply this should always use this as a first, you know, try this first. So that's kind of where we are with these principles. To examine the impact, we categorize user into three categories. So these are end users, those who use variants, the registration users and managers. These are more traditional, you know, in the ICANN sphere, registrants, registrars, and registries. And finally, I think one of the contribution of this report is it talks about the community, technical community, you know, enlarge it to those who deal with usability, configuration, and diagnostics of variants. I mean, these activating variant, you know, at the top level and the second level have implications for various parts of the community. And we try to be proactive in identifying these issues, recognizing that not all of these issues, you know, are for ICANN to solve, and we really invite the community, interested parties, to work on these together. So the issues are identified into three categories: the use of variants, registration management, and configuration and diagnostics. I think there are a total of 28 or 29 add together. Finally, I'm going to quickly, you know, focus a bit more on the recommendations. These recommendations are based on the user experience principles that the report articulated and is informed by the current IDN variant practices. These are really directed into four audiences: ICANN, registries, registrars, and the technical community. I'm going to highlight a few of the recommendations, but in noting that in each of the recommendations, we articulate what the recommendation is and provide some more details of that recommendation. So I invite you to take a look at the report for the full list of recommendations. So the first recommendation to ICANN is to recommend ICANN to implement a well-defined and conservative variant LD allocation process, recognizing that activating variants brings impacts to various parts of the community. And the current, there's not a very satisfactory technical solutions. So what we recommend is a principle of conservatism, right? The approval of variant LDs must not be automatic. The application must clearly demonstrate the necessity, not just the desirability, not just, I want my variant and give it to me, but demonstrate the necessity. The TLD variants must be allocated to the same entity, and also all requirements for TLD application, the variant application must also met. So, those are some examples of what in the report we articulate as conservative. The second recommendation to ICANN is to, because as Francisco just gave a presentation about the LGR, and I think that's really an important and central piece here, and we want to add to that is to make sure that when the LGR is created, it's maintained the repository and is available to users and programmatically processable. Knowing that, the LGRs, submitted not only used to determine what variants they are, but they also have other uses. For example, it could be used by application developers and others. So having it in a programmatically processable format is really important. The third recommendation is also about LGR, is to develop a minimal, simple, and consistent IDN LGR for the root zone. The LGR really have, when it's developed, it has a character repertoire as well as variant set. So I think what do we mean by minimal, simple, and consistent? So here are some examples. That is minimal needed by a given script community. Do not include dead scripts, and there are so many of those in the Unicode. Minimally used by a given script community. By default, if there's no consensus is reached on a given code point, the default decision is to leave out that code point. And the code points should be added at a script level. For the variants, the report recommends the variants be added based on security consideration and or significant community need. I think Francisco mentioned this adequately in the procedure before, so I will not belabor this. At the root level, the variance should be based on a script. And finally, simpler variant rules should be preferred than more complex ones. So that's some examples of minimal and simple and consistent. There are more of those in the report that I invite you to read. I think something not working. Let me try here. Oh. Is there a way to advance this slide manually? Sorry.
Try on the top.
No. Okay. Yeah, I guess we want the audience to stop on this slide and take a look. I'll wait for there we go. Okay. All right. So the next set of recommendation is directed to registries that offers IDNs for those scripts that does have variants, right? It's very similar. What we try to do here is to have, these kind of practices at the root, the kind of best practices at the root is more or less like a must. But going down at the registry level, these are, you know, kind of the best practice recommendations. So, for example, registration of variant not automatic, must be initiated by the registrant, and the variants are withheld by default. So it's also in applying the same conservatism principle. Variants registered to the same registrant, all requirements for label, you know, also applies to the variants. And they be treated as an atomic unit. Next slide, please. Oh, okay, thanks. So let's jump to, there are other recommendations for our registries, but I'm going to, in the interest of time, not cover that. I'm going to jump to recommendation for registrars. So for example, one recommendation for registrar is to extend the linguistic and technical support of IDN variants for registrants. Because, you know, registrars is really, you know, the interface with the customers. And they need to support registrants to understand, prioritize, select, and update variants for registration. In, you know, that's from the end user experience perspective, right? Because that's the entity that directly deals with end users. You also need to support variants to understand pricing and service level implications. We also, you know, the last category of the recommendation is for the technical community, and this is an area where, you know, it's really outside, you know, even outside probably ICANN's influence. But we want to call these issues out to be proactive and really invite the community to work together to find solutions. So one recommendation is to, based on the requirements articulated earlier, is for developers to consider enhancing software for administration and management of variants. And we gave some examples of what those are. Another recommendation is, you know, software intended for internet end users, for example, web browsers, email clients, and operating systems, should support variants to the extent necessary to ensure a positive user experience. You know, I want to stop here a bit and say, in general, you know, with the IDNs, the user experience with IDNs itself needs to be, there's a big long way to improve, right? So the expectations, you know, shouldn't be really that high, but there's a long way to go, and the community should work together, you know, in order to for the adoption of IDNs, and in the variants, you know, as part of that, this is what we recommend. So those are, you know, the recommendations. The full list of recommendations is in the report that we published in March. We have done consultations through public comments, through webinars. At ICANN meetings, we interview operators. But as always, we are willing to hear more feedback on this report and any additional input we have. But for now, I'm going to let my colleague Nyla to talk about next steps with regard to the project. Nyla?
Thank you, Steve. Okay, so coming out of these two reports that were just posted in March, we again looked at the projects that were identified. This is looking back to those of you who are with us after we did the what we call the integrated issues report, which was phase two of the program. We came up with a number of projects, and there were at least, I think, eight of them, of things that we still need to implement or work on before we have the LGR together. So our next steps will be to focus on pretty much implementing what Steve and Francisco talked about, the root LGR and the user experience study. So that's why, the reason why I mentioned the numbers of the projects is because we're going into now project 2.2. The numbers haven't been updated to be sequential to match the time in which we're executing them. We're sticking with the original project numbers from when we establish those projects at the end of phase two. So this project 2.2 will be to implement the process that Francisco talked about, and I'll go into a little bit of detail of what that means, and then also to look at the user expectations, the user experience study that Francisco just briefly discussed. So in two, what do we need to do? Francisco explained that we're going to have the model of integration panel and generation panels. So we need to start right away on recruiting that integration panel. It's going to follow. It's going to need expertise on it, of course. It's going to be a very small group. And when you read the report, it will be. You'll see that it's a very small group of highly skilled people. We're looking for, of course, it will be the areas of DNS, IDNA, linguistics, and Unicode. And this is also what's listed for the pool of advisors. Now, the pool of advisors, according to the process, are the advisors that are on hand to advise the generation panel. So you have the integration panel as the panel that is the final arbiter of the LGR. Then we have the advisors that are on hand and available to advise the generation panel. The integration panel also needs to do its setup work, initial setup work, and that's all outlined in the Project 2.1. This is what Francisco discussed. And then a big part of our work here is going to be reaching out to communities to form their generation panels. For those of you who have been following this project for a while, we think it'll be a little similar, actually probably a lot similar to what we did in the beginning of the program, where we had case studies working on their scripts. But in this case, we need to do a good outreach and make it known out there that the generation panels are now need to be forming themselves, and there's interaction between generation panel and integration panel. One important piece here is that the rest of the work that we're talking about down the road really depends on these generation panels being in place and producing work. So all of this is great, but it's all interrelated and depends on each other. And then in order for ICANN staff to support the generation panels, we need to put some supplementary work and guidelines, make that available through a website and other infrastructure that we need to provide to support the work of the generation panels. This really jumps very quickly. I think Francisco did talk about what the generation and integration panels will do, so I'm a little concerned that we didn't cover very much what's happening in generation panels. So that was Project 2.2. Project 7, we'll talk. I think Denise touched on this a little bit. We're going to, coming out of what Steve described, which is the user experience study, there have been the recommendations that he talked about. What we need to do, because these recommendations, as you saw, touch on registries, registrars, ICANN itself, and the technical community, we need to go and ask the sponsoring organizations and advisory committees on which of these can be immediately implemented, or which of them are ones that possibly need more policy work. So that step needs to happen before we just start implementing what's in the user experience study. Then along with that, we need to update the applicant guidebook and the IDN CCTLD documentation implementation plans to implement the changes that are in the user experience study, and at the same time also update the applicant guidebook and the CCTLD implementation plan, because this applies to both. I think this morning we were discussing what we foresee here is really defining in the applicant guidebook the business process of how we're going to handle variants, whether it's a new application coming in or whether the applications that have been already submitted that have named variants, how we take those and put them through the process going forward. So that's Project 7. Project 8 is... once the applicant guidebooks and the user experiences are reflected in the relevant guidebooks, we now actually need to implement them in the ICANN systems and processes in order to be able to process the requests to delegate variants. That work, in addition, it says implement changes identified, and that's correct. I think there will be still a little bit of a step behind that where we need to identify all the places where all these changes need to happen. And one piece of work that continues from the third phase that we just wrapped up is the LGR tool, the Labor Generation Rules tool. This is the tool that defines the specification for listing those code points. We do have this work has been going on for, I think, at least 6 months now. There's a draft out that I included the link for here, and then we put the mailing list, the VIP at ICANN.org mailing list, as a place to send input because it wasn't very clear where to send input if you had it. So that's where it's coming, Kim. And Kim is the one working on that tool. And what else do we have? Oh, we have an unworking clicker again. Yeah. I think I only have from here the timeline. Yeah, timeline. So I can start talking about the timeline while it's waiting. What? Hello? Can someone advance the slide, please? Ah, it's working on it. Okay. There we go. Okay, so the timeline, this is similar to what we showed at the beginning. This is going forward. About April 2013 here, we need to get going on the implementation of Project 2.2. This is the generation panels. This is the actual implementation of the process defined in 2.1. So we'll be setting up integration panels, doing outreach for generation panels, et cetera. At the same time, we need to start defining what's happening in Project 7, which is the updating the GTLD and CCTLD programs, and then from there actually implementing those changes. What we project or what we see happening between now, that this work will take us a good little over a year, as you can tell from here. And so around mid-next year, we expect to have the process for IDN variant TLDs for delegation in place. And this is also, there's a note here that isn't it's coming through very good, but it's really, this is subject to all this work falling in place. As you can see, it's all interdependent. So there's a lot of things that depend, a lot of projects that depend on previous steps. So this is a very good optimistic timeline that we could work towards right now. And I think that's it, right? Yeah, that's it. What we wanted to talk about next steps, and from here we'll take questions.
Thank you, Wendy. Can you help us with the questions, please?
Two questions from a remote participant, Liz Williams. Question, how many active applications for IDN TLDs are affected by this current program of work? And the second question is, taking into account the prioritization numbers for IDN applicants in practical terms, does the IDN variant project delay the evaluation and implementation of any applicants' plans?
So the first question, how many applications are affected by this current program? I would say all the IDN applications, in the sense that not in terms of the evaluation of the string, because that is already passed, but it's in terms of the variants, the potential to identify variants. The way that is worded in the applicant guidebook is that the variants that are listed in the application are an informative informative note in the application. They are not recognized until the appropriate work, which is this program, finalized. And so this program is the one, once we have the IDN router GR, that will be the mechanism to identify the variants related to all those strings. So I think that was the first one. The second one, let me see. So we don't expect any delay on the evaluation. As you can see, the results for, I believe, all the IDN GTLD applications are out there. I'm looking at Trunk, and my colleague, and maybe she will correct me if I'm saying something wrong. All the IDN GTLD applications results are already there, right? Or most of them? IDN GTLD applications?
So San Francisco, you're asking whether or not all of the IDN applications have had results published?
Yes.
No, only the ones that are prioritized, which means the first 108 applications. There are some IDN applications that were not prioritized, and those have not been evaluated yet.
Okay, thank you. In any case, the work here does not have an effect in terms of delaying the evaluation. Thank you. Rinalia?
Thank you, Francisco. Rinalia Abdurrahim for the transcript record. I am from the At-Large Advisory Committee. I have a few questions, all related to the implementation of the label generation rules for the root zone. Assuming that the board approves the recommendations for the procedure tomorrow, how soon or how quickly do you think the integration panel can be formed? And related to that is, are you still concerned about the supply and availability of experts that would constitute that integration panel? And the next question is, when you say that the first version of the IDN LGR would be released after you have a comprehensive set of writing system, do you mean a set of the family of languages that share a script, or do you need multiple sets, for example, CJK in the root, and then Greek, Cyrillic, and Latin in the root? Thank you.
Okay, Rinalia, thank you. So I'll take the question about how soon. How soon for the integration panel? We do have a program plan or a project plan that we initially started putting together for this project. For the integration panel itself, this work is happening as soon as we come back from Beijing. I looked at the plan earlier this morning. I think we're projecting to have the panel in place within the next couple months. So we understand the urgency, and we've been asked to expedite the program as much as possible. So in the next, and my colleagues here should correct me if I'm saying anything wrong. So in the next couple of months, we expect to have the integration panel up and running. There's some setup work that they need to do, and that's still within that about 2 to 3 months. In terms of, you said the pool of experts to fill the integration panel, you're absolutely right that the world isn't full of these people that are just ready to serve on integration panels. It's not a large population out there that can serve on this panel, but I think this program has shown up to date that we have been able to use the best of the best consultants that we could get our hands on out there. So in terms of expertise for that integration panel, I don't believe we have concerns that we can't get the right expertise to serve on the panel. I think we're pretty comfortable there.
Maybe to attempt to answer the question of comprehensiveness, label generation rules, is that better? The label generation rules want to be, ideally, you would develop them all at once for all future, because that way you can guarantee that you'll never have to update them in any way, shape, or form that risks any form of incompatibility. That's clearly not feasible, but what you must aim for is to have a set of label generation rules that are very unlikely to be challenged by future updates. You do not want to introduce any incompatibilities. The risk of that has to be very clearly limited. And the only way to do that is to examine enough scripts that you are sure that you have all the wrinkles that can occur present in at least one example. Again, that's an ideal case. We will have to see how close to that we can get in practice, but we must try. We cannot, under any circumstances, I think, be justified in taking a single script family, no matter how prominent or interesting, and just go with that one. That is essentially the repeat of the ASCII-only DNS in a different guise on the next level. We do not want to have the risk of a disruptive upgrade. And it's not just what's in the repertoire, it's not just what's in the variant rules, it's in the data formats, that we want to publish. It's in the tools that we want to publish. There was in the presentation a very clear mention of that there's interest in being able to run the LGR evaluation based on published information outside ICANN. If it was just run inside ICANN, it would maybe not as critical, but it is supposed to be available and for people to evaluate strings as being possible variants of existing ones or not. And for all of those reasons, it's really important that we can have enough scripts in the initial pass that we stress these various specifications correctly so that we do not unwittingly put constraints in that when we get a finally get a proposal for an LGR update for a particular script that we would have to backtrack it anyway. Backtracking is just not an option.
Thank you. Ching?
Thank you, Francisco, Steve, and Nala, and everyone here. This is Ching Chao speaking in the personal capacity. I would like to bring the subject to for the people in the room with the less technical not knowledge, but more from the business and policy side, is about the timeline. My question is very simple and straightforward. Why June next year? Please help us understand that during this week we've heard this new GTOD program needs to be moved forward. We are looking at a new amended contract, which the registries are working night and day on trying to reach a consensus towards to a new registry agreement. We are seeing new TMCH contracts, but we understand, or a misunderstanding is that this working group has been set up quite some time ago, and we know that, I personally fully understand how much work has been done by this working group, and I really applaud for that outcome. But why June? We understand the pressure that you have and we have from the business and the policy side. You have seen the strings 106 applications or 108 that's been published. You know the variants. You know who are the people to talk to, a.k.a. the CCTOD communities. They have implemented whatever it's called, a synchronized CCTOD, or we call it actually the same, actually the variant program. So I'm just throwing this kind of open question here, but I don't want to make anyone here to look bad, but my big question mark here is why June next year? So that's one question that I have. I have a follow-up suggestion on this one. So anyone. Thanks.
Thank you, Ching. So I certainly appreciate the interest of people, and particularly applicants, to have their variants as soon as possible. However, we must remember that what started this program was a board resolution in 2010 where the board said there will be no delegation of variants until the appropriate solutions are implemented. And that's what we are working on. Why June? I think that's a simple answer. Is we look at the work that is that we think is needed in order to finalize what we need to do, and that's the date that we came up with. We are positive about that date, but I should add a word of caution here that there are two parallel tracks here. One is the work that we need to do internally in ICANN. That's the part that we are saying that we think can be done in mid next year. There is the other part, which involves community participation, the generation panels, and interaction with the integration panel to have a conservative IDN route LGR. That is, of course, there is no timing on that. It obviously depends on the involved communities. But the main message here is we hear you, we understand your need, However, we need to do our due diligence and make sure that we have a secure and stable DNS route, and we believe that we need to do this work before delegation of variant TLDs can happen.
So actually, thank you, Francisco. I know you've been working also night and day on this. So a practical suggestion is actually, it is my two cents here, is that I would really love to see, for example, actually the recommendation 6.1.1 to be placed or to be made into an advisory at the TAS system. So the applicants, most of the applicants will receive at least this first 100 IDN TODs, knows what to do, say, from August this year when we see the first potential first delegation, and then to next June next year. So we know what to do in the next 8 to 10 months. How do we sell it? How, in terms of policy, we should comply with the ICANN guideline or this type of advisories, because it's not in our contract. So basically, you're putting us into a business risk. We're going to tell them, hey, there will be a variant coming up. You will be seeing registry telling registrar, pay us advance, pay us the pre, a deposit first. We will sell the variant to you, but we'll only delegate it to you when I can delegate the variant to the registry. So you'll be seeing market activities like that, but there's no restriction or actually regulations. So just my two cents here, maybe an advisory would be helpful in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Edmund?
Thank you. Edmund Chung here. I have a few questions as well on user experience and on LGR and on the next steps. Before I say that, standing here in Beijing, I remember probably it was 14 years ago that this first come to being. 14 years I've been working on IDNs, and it was actually Beijing also that I first visited when I first started working on IDNs. So I actually want to say that I'm very excited about the work that has been done. I want to really congratulate the team on the two reports, the LGR and the user experience, especially the user experience, actually. And it is certainly a culmination of the ideas, the work from the community for the many, the 14, actually 14 years of IDN, but 12 years of variants. And I wanted to really congratulate the team. Not only that, but also the integrated VIP study team and also the language study team reports before that. So what it does is that it really now sets the very strong foundation for our work forward, and I do see the light at the end of the tunnel. So if you want to, I'd like to get everyone to join me in a round of applause for the team. Truly appreciate it. Now, the questions. So I guess first, top of my list is the user experience study, 6.2.1. I don't know why I remember that, but. So I think it's very important, and I want to make sure you understand what I'm trying to ask. I'm hoping, and I'm guessing it doesn't, but I want to make sure that it is not in compliant with the CDNC policies and RFC 3743 in terms of preferred variants, and in fact the implementation that you're seeing today in pretty much all of the registries that provide IDNs, including IDNC CTLDs. I want to make sure that 6.2.1 bullet 1 is not non-compliant with what is out there right now.
Thank you, Edmund. The recommendation for, you're saying 6.2.1
bullet one,
registration of variant not automatic, initiated by the registrants, and variants withheld by default. So that's the background of the recommendation is to, you know, adopt a conservative approach, you know, that, you know, from the top level to the second level with regard to the activation of variants. So you're saying that it's in conflict with CDNC guidelines?
That's what I want to clarify. So I understand the top level. I'm not asking about that. Right. In terms of the second level registrations, right now, .China, .Taiwan, well, .Asia, most of the IDN implementations that I know of, in terms of especially for Chinese,
sure.
You register a domain in Chinese, and you have a preferred variant, which is either your traditional Chinese and then its preferred variant, is kind of automatically included, and that's a fundamental part of the CDNC policy. And so one makes sure that you're not throwing that 10 years of experience away.
And I think it's certainly not our intent to do that. So okay. I think this is a useful feedback for us to consider, you know, when we're embarking on the next phase of the project. But I want to see if Samart and Mark, if you have any thoughts to share.
Yeah. So I'd like to make two comments here. First of all, as far as the recommendations for registries are concerned for second level, they're not a must, they're a should, which we clarify in our document is a preferred practice, but not a required practice, of course. And the second is that this recommendation is generically for all scripts. And Chinese CJK context may have a different policy in that context, but that policy is not applicable across all scripts. So those are two comments, and of course, your observations welcome, and I think there can be, as I said, it's not a requirement, it's a should. And in the context of CJK, if there is a very strong community, in a way, agreement coming through the LGR process, of course that can be included in the implementation.
Okay, understood. That it's very encouraging to hear that. And I just a simple. Simple suggestion is when we worked on the ICANN IDN guidelines, we touched on this issue with mixing script as well, and we specifically talked about, for example, the Japanese language. This is a situation where it's sort of similar, where there are certain exceptions that may need to be there. You talk about this as an sort of a recommendation, but I guess in the ICANN realm, I would be much more comfortable if you included that wording in the report, because I would guess that that is going to be used for other purposes as well. And looking at the next steps, part of it is to implement the two reports into the different processes. And actually, I think. Barring that particular adjustment that probably needs to be there, I think they are very good recommendations, and I'd like to see them in, perhaps even in the contract of registry contracts for those who are running IDN registries, because they should know about these kind of things, and they should be carrying out those practices. So that's important. I'll put myself back at the end of the line every time, because I'll switch to another question.
Thank you, Edmund. Wendy, I believe we have some remote participants' questions.
Yes, this is Wendy on behalf of remote participant Liz Williams. Question, two questions. Referring to Steve's slide about best industry practice, how will that commitment be integrated into specifications for technical service providers? Will the ICANN contract be amended to take account of the new standards? Do you want me to ask the second one now, too, or just wait?
So it, I guess it depends on how we define technical service providers, right? So from the these best practices, you know, together with the principles that was articulated, some of these made into the recommendations. So Project 7, you know, through a kind of a consultative process, will implement some of these recommendations, you know, into contracts or best practices. So Liz, if your question is about whether they will be in contracts or best practices, my answer is yes, some of them are. I have to confess, I don't fully understand your question about technical service. Do you mean the backend provider, you know, other operator? But others, feel free to chime in if you have something to add.
Last question from Liz as well. Could the panelists provide some feedback on the actual user experience impacts registrants can expect whilst waiting for the IDN variant work takes place? Do they expect negative effects which will harm new IDN applicants' businesses, noting that they are due to go live very early in the process of delegation?
So I'm not sure I understand the question. I.
She said yes, back-end providers to the previous one.
So but maybe I should start with the other one, because I think I could answer that one first. The requirements for back-end providers, ICANN has contracts with the registry operator. The contract party to ICANN, not the back-end. So it we cannot have a requirement on the backends. We have requirements with the registry operators, which in turn they may need to or decide to put in the contracts with their backends. So I think that would be the answer to the first one. Regarding the second question, negative impact on registrants, given the lack of variants, I guess.
Yeah, that's my understanding of the question.
Okay.
If the variants are not deployed, then
right.
Then what's the impact of the registrants?
Yes.
So there will be some impact, right? And the impact could vary, you know, depending on which community you are. So at the moment, I think there are no variants. So, you know, for the block variants, you know, I think probably there will be not so much security concerns, right? Because, it hasn't been considered. It's almost like, you know, blocked. So I think there may be a negative experience for some of the active variants. So I think that's that applicants need to acknowledge that. What we're trying to do here on the other side is to balancing that, you know, with defining a robust and consistent process to generate labels for the route, right? Because we only have one root zone, right? It's a shared resource. And in terms of policy making and procedures, decisions at the root should be much more conservative than decisions at the second level, right? So I think with that regard, I think we're balancing the two. There will be impacts, but balancing that, we felt that it is necessary to complete the work, the necessary LGR work, in order to, you know, if the work is not done, you know, maybe in the future, the negative impact to the users will be even greater, potential even more security problems. So that's kind of a short answer to that. Not so short answer, sorry.
May I add something? Marc Blanchet. One thing that was the scope of the study, of the user experience study, was given that IDN variants were activated, what are the user, you know, the the issues or the expectation of the users. So we didn't really work on what happens if not the variants are not activated, because the actual scope of the work was, given that they are activated, what happens.
Thank you. Mike?
My name is Mikey O'Connor, and I confess to being a full-fledged clueless newbie on this one. I've sort of became aware of this week, so I'm going to sort of represent my ISPs, because just listening to this conversation and reading, you know, I just literally just now read section 5, so I've got a long way to come up the learning curve. But I'd be curious to hear from you all whether you think this thing is ready to go out into the world, because I'm representing the organizations that are going to take the calls when this unbelievable array of horrors happens. And I'm just curious if I should be like buying ad space in major newspapers and saying, heads up, colleagues, you know, we've got search problems, inconsistent this and that. People aren't going to be able to log on to Facebook because it's, you guys aren't going to get the call, and Facebook isn't going to get the call. I'm going to get the call. I mean, is this thing getting ready to go out in the world? I'm sorry to ask such a stupid question, but this is hair-raising.
So thank you, Mike. So the short answer is no. Precisely that's what we're saying. We need to do more work before this can be ready. Okay. But I feel like I need to clarify what is meant by variants. So the term is overloaded, and it means different things to different people. So usually when people talk about variants, probably what they are thinking is what we call in the reports mirroring variants, meaning you have two names, and you the provider implements some mechanism that tries to make the two DNS trees and whatever is using that DNS tree to behave as if the two names were the same, something like that. So that's not what we are trying to implement here. We specifically discard that as part of the integrated issues report as something that is not workable, precisely because of the kind of things that you are mentioning. What we are talking about to implement is things like, for example, something that is very straightforward, having block variants. You have a name that no one should have, because otherwise it will have security implications, because maybe people will be confused, think that it's related to some other name that is out there. So block variants, it's something that we don't call them that, but it's something we already have. We have some TLDs that are basically blocked, that are not allowed because of the those type of considerations. And there is a consideration to have active variants. That's what the user experience is mostly about. And that relates to have two names that will be allocated to the same entity, but there is no full expectation that they will try to do something to mirror the two spaces. So basically, we will be only taking care that those two names are managed in some sort of atomic form, so that when if you transfer this registry to someone else, it will be the two strings, for example, so there is no possibility to have one string to be with one party and another string to be with another party. But in terms of the expectation for those two names, or everything that is using those two names to behave in a mirroring form, we are pretty pessimistic about that being a possibility. We are basically saying, no, that's not what is that can be expected.
Go ahead.
I would encourage first you to read the whole report. Having said that, I think the train has started, like as Edmund was saying, 14 years ago. when we started the IDN working group, or the IDN work, in fact, right? Because as soon as you input languages into domain name, then you will get support calls, whatever you do. I've been the co-chair of the working group, co-author of the spec, so blame me.
Okay.
Don't send the support calls to me, however. having said that, so I think my take is on the support calls. The large group of issues are related in about IDN in general, not specifically about this, what we're talking specifically about this, right? Now, more specifically, you have some ccTLDs that have been deploying IDNs, right? And then some of them already have variants at the second level, right? So it's already deployed. It's there, right? So, and it's simpler for those TLDs because it's usually language-specific or community-specific. Therefore, they can manage their scope. Here, we're talking about the root, the TLDs. So the impacts are larger. And from the user experience report that I encourage you to read, is the fact that we tend... No, I'm not trying to... But
it's perfectly fair.
but we're trying to say that from the user point of view, and user being different kind of users... It is difficult to envision that a rule can apply to the second level differently than the first level and differently on the third level, right? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
A code point or all the rules related to what is valid at one level should be at the same level. I think we can agree, right? So I think this whole work is to actually try to make as uniform or the best we can to make all these work together, right? So it's not simple. Yes, there will be some support calls. Then the question is more about, we started 14 years ago about saying, do we introduce languages into domain names, right? And I think that's most of the problems. And if we don't do variants, then I'm French-speaking, so I have kind of less of a problem, but I understand that some languages, they have different ways to write the same strings. So if one way doesn't work and the other way works, then it doesn't seem to be right. So,
Asmus, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I wanted we've gone back to talking about the active variants again, and I want to reiterate the usefulness I see in the LGR procedure, and that's why it's so important to get it right, also in the ability to block large amounts of variants. Thus, you can think of variants as kind of being indirect collisions between labels. If two labels have the same variant, then they can't exist at the same time because the idea is they will be treated by the user as somehow identical when in fact they aren't on the code point level. And that gives all sorts of opening to abuse, so you want to filter those out. And we want to get that work right that we can take care of in that LGR part, which is something that can be automated. And we can take care of filtering stuff that can be, with knowledge of scripts and languages, defined as being automatable, detecting potential collisions between things. So that the next part in the system, which we haven't talked to you at all about, which would be the stream similarity review, which is a case-by-case evaluation using humans, that evaluation doesn't have to, deal with all the obvious cases. So that is a very important part. These block variants behave very, very different from the allocatable ones. And among the allocatable ones, you have that subset that can potentially be activated.
Thank you. And we are running out of time. We have only 5 minutes, and we have Edmond, and we have a remote question.
Let me just do one last sentence, which is, this was extremely helpful. I really appreciate dumbing down to my level. I will read this. But one of the things to stick in the work plan would be some sort of extracting this report to sort of a policy level. This is a tough read for me, and I sort of thought I kind of understood this stuff. So for the typical ISP out there in the world, it would be really helpful to have sort of a basic introduction to the terminology and the issues in sort of one layer less technical language so that people could start understanding what's coming at them. Because this is hard. Thanks.
There's a recommendation, the report about this.
Edmund?
Thank you. Edmund Chung here again. And Mikey, I guess what Mikey meant in terms of policy is a small p policy, not the big p policy. Yeah. And if you look at the those list of issues, you're probably going to find a similar long list when you talk about new GTLDs and universal acceptance of them. But we won't go there. So back to a couple of more questions. We're running out of time, I know. One is the label generation rule sets in terms of comprehensiveness. I wanted to follow up with what Rinalia said. And Asmus, I actually do know what you mean, and we've talked about this. We may disagree, but I want to make sure that my Chinese colleagues understood what you're saying. All through the process, the Chinese community has, you know, this is an urgent item for the Chinese community. And we've always thought that, you know, through the process, this could go parallel. And if the Chinese community is ready, it won't be held back by other script communities. What you just said is probably different from that understanding. So I want to make sure that my Chinese colleagues understand this. Or maybe I understood you wrong.
No, I think you understand me quite fine. I think the best thing that I understand your interest in the interest of the Chinese community in getting this to work. I mean, everybody's had high expectations and a long lead time and wants to finally see that thing come to fruition. I think the best thing that everybody can do is I'm thinking of the Chinese language and or the Han script communities, including the Japanese here, as very sophisticated experts in this area. You know, having looked at the problem already, having defined what the variants could be, having defined which language environments they're allocatable and which are not, they have basically really deep experience in this stuff. Now, the best way to make this go forward as expeditiously as possible is in speeding up the slowest part of this process. And the slowest part of this process would be perhaps important generation panels, importance in the sense of that their script touches on important issues that may not have the expertise, may not have the background, may not have the facilities, because scripts can be complicated even if the countries are not very rich or sophisticated or highly computerized. And any help that the Chinese script community, including Japan in that one as well, could do in facilitating certain of these potentially not so quick off the mark other generation panels would be highly useful. Having said that, of course, it's very useful if the integration panel can start with a very well put together, quickly delivered LGR submission from a Chinese generation panel. That would integration panel process is not necessarily one where nothing will happen until everything has come in. In the mailbox, what will happen is that the people on the integration panel will sift through stuff as it comes in. It is just that the delivery date for an LGR is dependent on it being comprehensive. Okay? So work will not just cease. It will just go quietly
behind the background. And it's absolutely essential that Chinese generation panel be formed immediately and supply a proposal the minute the integration panel is ready to receive input.
Sure, I understand that, and I just want to make sure that my colleagues from the Chinese community understand what is being said right now. Our understanding was that we won't be held back by other scripts in this process, but that is no longer true. If investments gets this way in a way, but so you know, if those of you who are concerned about it, you need to speak up. That's just my.
Edmund,
we're running out of
time. I'll jump in on this one. It's not whether I get my way or not. It's just that, as Steve has pointed out, it hinges on the fact that the root is a shared resource, right? So that's where all this is coming from, and you were part of the group when we put together the document that basically laid out that these are the requirement for successful.
So if I may interject, we are running out of time. So I will answer that, and that's what I'm going to do now. I think we cannot be speculating here what is should be or should not be. I think this is a matter for the integration panel once it is established. And so I really think we should not be speculating about this. I cannot say it should be one way or another. This is not the place to decide that. And we have just one last question, and I would like to go to that very quickly.
Remote participant Liz Williams asks, from a registry operations perspective, new operators need to provide name registration policies for registrants to abide by. Do the panelists recommend that new IDN registry operators say, quote, the registration of variant names at the second level are not allowed until X date. If you wish to reserve your variant, click here, and we will come back to you when we are able to offer variants, unquote.
Thank you, Liz, for that question. I think what you are asking is about second level, right? I think the procedures and the report and our focus for this project is really for the root zone. So I think that's point number one. At the second level, it's really a registry's determination. And but having said that, I do think your conservative approach is a good idea. One of the recommendations from the user experience report is trying to promote consistency, across different levels. The second level registries, should consider the LGRs for the root zone and use part of that and document, instances where you deviate. So, just want to emphasize that. Thanks.
Just one very quick question, if I may. Edmund Chung here again. The next steps, there was one part where you were going to go back to the CCNSO and GNSO. I just want to get a sense of how that would happen and what is in that scope.
Yeah, very quickly. So to be clear, not just GNSO, CCNSO, so it's all the SOs, all the ACs. You should watch for the resolution tomorrow, but what we're asking for is to actually, I think the resolution will have a definite date of when we expect that it will call on the SOs and ACs to provide input and advice to the staff about which of the recommendations can go immediately proceed to implementation and which need further policy work. And we expect that to come in with a certain amount of time. It has a deadline for when that input needs to come in. So that's the mechanism that we're using.
Okay, with this, we close the session. Thank you very much.